chapter 9. And I want to kind of bring home unpacking wisdom for this series. Not that we're anyway by a long shot finish unpacking wisdom. But I start to realize as I'm giving a message, when God begins to reveal to me that people are not moving past a certain point, that I have to shift. I remember when I asked, I think it was last week, a week before, how many people have been listening to the messages again, and only one or two people raised their hand. And of course, I listened to a couple of them today, and I listened to the last one I did, and it was just about the process. Yet I had to deal with people all week about struggling with the process. I'm like, what am I not saying? Or what? And it's not what you're not saying. They're not heeding. They're not listening. They're hearing the message at the moment, but then they're not going back and, you know, making sure they get their full inoculation and standing with the word until their spirit and their mind is changed. They're just hearing something. They're coming for itching ears. You know, you can be itching ears and hearing the right thing, but it doesn't mean you're going to do anything with it. You're just coming for your conscience to be salved, or for your emotional or your issue at the moment to be dealt with. But change of spirit and change of perspective deals with everything. So I was thinking, coming into this year of obedience, prosperity and obedience. I think if God had just said obedience, I would have missed it. Because right away, that puts you in a defensive mode, like you are ready to be corrected. And most people, if you realize you're about to be corrected, you go into defense mode, regardless. Even when you ask for the correction. Right, somebody come to you and they'll show you a picture of themselves, or put their song on for you, or cook you something, and they say, "So what do you think?" And immediately they do this. Immediately they get into defense mode. They're ready to argue your point that they asked you to give. "What do you think of my hair?" "I like it better the other way." "Well, I like it this way." So then why are you bothering me? So you don't want my opinion, you wanted your opinion from me. So when God gave me the word of prosperity, I said, "That's not it. But let's open with what you gave me." And everybody was like, "Yes! Prosperity and obedience." Yay. Right? It changed. The tone changed. Because we look at obedience as restriction. Well, restriction from something that will kill you is good restriction. If you don't want restriction, every banister and every balcony should not have a ledge or a rail around it so you can just walk right off into the street. There's a reason that you put safety bars if you live in, you know, in the city, on your windows if you have small kids, to restrict them from falling out. So I'm learning to appreciate God's safety bars. Now the safety bars are a hindrance, because now as an adult, I can't look out the window like I want to. So you see, there's things that are removed. You can turn the volume down a little bit, that's all. There are things that are removed in that type of restriction but they're removed for your safety. You're not being limited, you're being redirected, as I said a couple of weeks ago. Correction is redirection. I've been teaching you for months now about the fool who despises correction. The person that always needs to justify even their wrong. No, I agree with you, I was wrong, but let me explain how I was seeing it. See, but you don't understand why I did it though. Let me explain why I did it. So then there's not a real acceptance of correction if you feel you have to then add, but if you look at it my way, there's a reason I really wasn't wrong, and let me tell you why. Okay? So, obedience is something you have to be ready for. And I'm looking at the demeanors even as I'm talking about obedience and watching how people's your demeanors are different. There's certain things I talk about, I know, and you're sitting up straight and you're leaning forward in your seat. And the other times your heads are down in your phones. And you're doing additional research or whatever you're doing and responding to emails. I don't know what you're doing. But you're not locked in when I'm saying the stuff you like I am when I'm saying the stuff that you like. Body language is even different. When people are receiving something that's edifying to them, you sit up different. You lean forward. Your posture, you like this. When it's something you want, trying to decide if you want to hear, your posture is more like this. It's more laid back. It's more, you know, right. You know. You understand what I'm saying? No, it's true. You have to set your posture to receive.
Amen.
You got to set your mind to receive. You know, it says you have to seek wisdom. Search for knowledge. You can't seek and search like this. You seek and search like this. It's a forward progression, a forward motion. And I don't mean just the way you sit. I mean just the statement of your spirit is different. So I've come to the realization that correction for me has become a vitamin. It's become a good thing. Problem is, when you're in a place where you're receiving something, you immediately start dispensing it and sharing it, and you come to the reality real quick that everybody else don't want your revelation, or your new position is not everybody else's food. have you ever been delivered from something in here? People that used to smoke, oh my God, they're the worst. They want to go around and tell everybody the dangers of smoking and all the research they did and everything and how Jesus showed them. And the person who has not decided they want to be delivered yet don't want to hear your crap. Help not ask for his interference. Nobody asked you. Nobody cares about how many environmental researches you did. Vegetarians and vegans are the worst. That's why I was very careful when I went plant-based. I'm like, I do not want to become that person. So, obedience requires a forward motion. It requires a hunger. It requires a desire. But it also requires something that I've been really seeing a lot lately in myself and not understanding it, but I'm starting to get it. Obedience demands to be valued. I heard you, Sherry. She said, what does that mean? Obedience demands to be valued. Don't you, as a person, You working your behind off. You doing your best to help somebody. Don't you want them to acknowledge? You don't want them treating you like you wasting their time, or worse, when you do something for somebody and they make it look like you ain't really did nothing. Yeah, but I had already figured that out on my own. Uh-huh. Oh, you did? Well, then how come it ain't been working for you then? And how come it's working now? Obedience is the same. It demands to be valued. I instructed you, you listened to me, and you benefited from it. Now talk about it.
Okay.
Tell somebody that this obedience got you to this place.
Yes.
Give me credit for my work. Meaning, put your shame down and go to somebody and say, yeah, I was screwed up right here. But obedience checked me. And I made the change. And now I'm here. I don't care what it looks like to anyone else. I'm here to let you know that I surrendered to the spirit of obedience, and the reward was thus and such. And that person may say, well, where were you disobedient? And God will tell you in some cases that ain't none of their business. But in some cases, God will say, but it's all my business. If I say share it, I want it shared.
Hallelujah.
I'm acknowledging you. And I'm respecting the change that you made in my life enough to tell it as a testimony so that somebody else may seek out obedience.
Yeah, yeah.
These are the notes that he gave me. So I begin to say, okay, I started confessing months ago. You remember? I seek
correction
over compliment. You've heard it so much. You know, you sat up straight. As soon as I said, you knew exactly what I was going to say. That's a statement, a commitment, a vow to obedience. Say that again. A statement, an affirmation, a vow to obedience. Most of our lives, my life, I sought compliment over correction. Tell me what I'm doing good. Don't tell me what I'm doing wrong. Let me figure that out in my own time. But when you begin to seek correction, and some of you begin to say that because you've heard me say that, and all of a sudden you start getting hit, and you're like, well, you know, on second thought, pass. Give me the compliment, keep the correction. Seek correction. Why? Because in disobedience, I've made mistakes and done things that have cost me many years. In refusing to be corrected, I've delayed moves of God in my life by decades. Oh, nobody want to have this conversation. I've delayed the move of God by decades. Look in the book of the Bible. David, by his disobedience. Abraham, by his disobedience. And all these mighty men of God that you can see in the Bible that missed their blessings by decades because they didn't line up. The beautiful thing is once you do, as I've been teaching, God restores you like you never missed a beat. So what I'm asking for today, and the title of this message is The Attitude of Obedience. What I'm asking for today is for us to develop a personality toward obedience and correction. Not something we just want very rarely, once or twice a year, check me, but God check me every day and throughout the day. I want to get to the place, Lord, in the name of God, Lord Jesus, God. I want to get to the place where I'm looking to be corrected without explanation by the Spirit of God, so that I can immediately get on the track I should be on that has delayed me for so long from seeing all the greatness that he's called me to. I want an attitude of obedience where obedience in God becomes the anchor of my very existence. I want it to be like oxygen and air to me. I want to be right with God. Who agrees? I hear some amens. Well, here's the thing. By that amen, so be it, you are inviting now correction. In some cases, chastisement. This is not for the weak of heart. This is not a milk message. This is a meat message. Uncooked meat message. This is one of those messages that don't commit to it if you're not really ready to be changed and challenged. Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has set it up. It's seven pillars. And I wanted to understand what that meant. And it's seven pillars.
Well, seven is a number of completion.
Yeah, super spiritual people, we got that. But something else clicks for me. Because I'm into contracting. I have an understanding of building things. A structure is usually in the number of fours. Structures are usually square, very rarely round. So that's why I say usually. You got four corners to a house. You got four pillows. Or six. Or eight. But it's usually in twos. One to support each side. So the seventh one represented to me that there's another foundation or structural support that goes beyond the natural. This is me. I ain't saying thus saith the Lord. I count the seventh pillar as the Lord himself. There's the four. There's the six. I'm the seventh. That extra support. That extra foundation that makes what he says even more solid. This is my opinion. Do with it what you want. That's free. So he said, it's set up. But these pillars are solid. They're back then, they're not pieces of wood. They are hewn out and dug out of stone. But look at this. And Mike, I know you like to look at the Hebrew and stuff when I'm doing it. I'm not doing Hebrew this time. But if you want to look up that seventh pillar and find, if you see something, and let me know. I'm going to keep going for the sake of time. Here we go. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has set her table. So there's food or provision for your physical, some wine so you can feel a little good there, and there's a roof. There's a home. There's a covering. So I need you to understand this. Listen close to what I'm saying. This is what wisdom is setting up We've been teaching about you need to get wisdom and all your way and get wisdom and that, get understanding, insight. We got all of this, right? Understanding, knowledge of God. So wisdom is saying, I want you to get this. Please get this. Ready? First thing that the word tells us to get is, what was the next one? Insight. What's the next one? Understanding. What's the next one? Knowledge of God. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. Are you listening? Lord, help them get this. Then it begins to go into describing what wisdom does, and you haven't even gotten to knowledge and understanding or insight yet. Just wisdom alone's provision. Wisdom is describing the provisions that she provides. You yourself haven't even gotten to insight or understanding yet. No. Let me give it to you another way. And all you're getting, get wisdom. I think it's Proverbs 8. For she shall come to you with left of days in one hand and wealth and honor in the other. That's the scripture. All right? So it says, wisdom says, I'm going to bring length of days, which is health and healing, and then wealth. So I'll take care of your health, and I'm going to take care of your wealth. Just get wisdom. Okay? So the insight and all that stuff didn't even kick in yet. This is just on the ground floor of it. I know, it's the reason I'm telling you this. Because when I tell you, you got to get wisdom, and then you got to get insight, and then you got to get knowledge, understand the knowledge of God. Oh, I got to get all that before I can see God move. No, this is right there in wisdom. I just want all of it. Yeah. And I want you to have all of it. Amen. But all of that comes with wisdom. Amen. Say, my provision,
my health,
my needs,
my peace of mind,
everything that God promises me comes through wisdom. Now take this, ready? Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. So you already have the wisdom, so that means you already have all the stuff I'm about to read. So the insight and understanding is the ability how to use that stuff, how to get that stuff, how to acquire that stuff. That's what the insight and understanding and the knowledge is. But wisdom already has it. You're not seeking to get that stuff. It's covered in your salvation. In your salvation. See, I already have it. She has prepared the meat and mixed her wine. She has also set a table. What does that mean? Go ahead. You're about to eat, Sherry. Go ahead. Keep going. Your provision's already been set up for you. Go ahead. She set a table, though. What did you say? Correct. It's not just for yourself. I'm looking. Come on. You cooks, you all know what that means. You're trying to get too spiritual with it. It's time to eat. It just came out. I don't know. That was a Holy Ghost one. It's ready. Come sit down and eat. Maybe not. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe not. But you understand what I'm saying? It's time to eat. She set the table. Why are you hungry? What are you waiting for? Why are you lacking? The table's set. Sit yourself down and eat. Ooh, Jesus.
Yes,
table's ready. Watch this. I'm just going to prove my point. And she sent out her servants and she calls from the highest point of the city. Didn't we do something like this already? Chapter 1. It keeps coming back to the same thing. Chapter 8, same thing again. Let all of you who simple come to my house. See, you don't even have to be smart.
You can be stupid and still go sit down and eat. And to those who have no sense, she says, come and eat my food. But I got to get with knowledge and understanding. She said, come, you can come and eat stupid. No, you're but I ain't got enough understanding yet. Wisdom said, come and eat stupid.
Amen.
Foolish, dumb, and stupid is still yours.
Amen.
Look, let those who are simple come to my house. Just come on in. And to those who have no sense, totally ignorant, stupid, she says, come and eat anyway. Come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live.
Yes.
Walk in the ways of insight.
Hallelujah.
Wisdom, insight. You see how these things just keep flowing together? Back to back to back. You can't escape it. Say, somebody scream loud, I'm already blessed. Say, I'm already prosperous. I'm already filled with the wisdom of God.
I'm ready to eat.
Leave your simple, stupid behind ways and you will live. Walk in the ways of insight. Now, I'm going to put a pin on that or wrap that up, put that in a bow, and give you that in a package before I move to the next point. We've done this already, but I'll do it again and again and again. You're not seeking wisdom. Wisdom's calling you. Wisdom's calling you. Just say yes. Stop trying to figure out what you can do and just listen to what wisdom is saying. Accept the truth of it. I was praying with someone and I was listening as they were praying. And you know, I talk about the difference between petition. And I said, I hear a lot of petition. Are you listening to me? You listening to me? What I'm about to say is real simple, but it's powerful. I listened to the prayer and I listened for a minute. In the moment the person started, I felt myself kind of get a little, you know, sometimes I just want to say something right away and God just says, no, no, not yet. Wait till they pour their stuff out so that they open so they can receive. Let them get all that mess out. God said, let them get all the junk out so you can't try to fill a cup that's already full. Let them beg and plead and cry and do whatever they're doing. And after the prayer was done, are you ready for this? This is probably going to be one of the most powerful things I'm going to say to you today. I said, I hear a lot of petition. I hear no declaration. Who doesn't understand the difference? What is a petition? Lord, I need. Lord, if you just help me. Lord, I want. Lord, is. Lord, if this, Lord, show me that. Lord, help me with that. Lord, teach me that. Lord, open my eyes to that. Lord, because it's not always just bills. Sometimes you're just praying. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I need direction. Lord, I need guidance. Lord, show me. Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me. What's declaration? I thank you that I have all wisdom. I thank you I have all insight. I thank you I have all righteousness and understanding. I thank you I have peace and prosperity and abundance. I thank you that the wisdom of God is the knowledge of God is mine. I thank you that because you said it, I accepted that it is so. And so right now, from this point, now that I've given a petition, I'm going to throw a petition away and I'm going to begin to worship you and thank you for that thing which I believe by faith is mine. And I've been paying attention to that when I pray with people, that they petition a lot.
There's no confession.
So I thought about that. And God said to me, in the natural, what petitions have you vowed to that you have seen manifested? And what things have you been praying and quote unquote confessing, but really you're just petitioning, praying? And what are the things that you have declared that you have seen the manifestation of in your life? So I told a couple of you already, but you know, God works with me. You know, he worked with you the way he worked with you. You may get it through gospel music. God usually speaks to me through regular stuff, secular, what you would call secular. I don't call it secular. I call it songs that may not be Christian songs, but they could still minister to me and God speak to me. Those of you who already know, don't cheat. But those of you who don't know, for my 60th birthday, what was my praise and worship song? What was the song that I claimed as my mantra for my 60th birthday? That's right. Living my best life. Ain't going back and forth with you peoples. Now, you laugh, but I claim that. Have I not for the past 2 years been living that? And I have I ceased to go back and forth with you peoples? Across the board, family, friends, whatever. My daughter told me a couple of weeks ago that she was saying something about daddy said something, whatever. And my granddaughter, I mean, I said, I don't think grandpa said that, because grandpa's living his best life. And it's like, so you and I was like, wow. The confession is manifested. And God said, it's as simple as you claim that. It's not anti-scriptural the way it's phrased may not be, but the truth is still the truth. I confessed that this is my best life. Starting from 60, that my last days will be greater than my first. I spoke that. That's what that meant to me. You know, and for the level I'm on, it's real. But it's also real on this level. That house that left the market, and I claimed they won't be able to keep that house. And when it's my time, they're going to have to give it up. And 6 months later, they put it back. You got to understand, yeah, it's back. It shook me because I wasn't ready. Because I didn't think it would be this fast. So that means that it's my time. That's the confession. No, you better understand something. That means that it's the time now. I have to get ready in my spirit. Because that means the time is now. It came back now. I was thinking another year or two. It came back now. But I started confessing, what was it, not even a month ago? Lord, I'm tired of sleeping on this couch. I need a place to sleep that I can call home. Came back. I don't think this is a coincidence. Start declaring what God has said over you and stop praying. You've prayed enough. You prayed and you stood and you prayed and cried, as Donnie McCurk said, prayed and cried. Prayed and cried. Okay, but when you going to stand? Because it says that after you've done all you can, stand. Well, how do you stand? Not just hold on, let the wind just beat up against you. Stand means declare. Make a declaration. Put your foot down and say, I shall not be moved. Hey. You shall not pass. Hallelujah. Got it? Now, I make that to make this point, and this is a good place to bring her home. When you get delivered, when you get healed, what did I say the first thing you want to do? You want to run out and try to change everybody else. You want to tell everybody else the great revelation you got. Bible covers everything. Next verse says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. We've seen 4 years of that. I'll leave it right there. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. I was just trying to help them. But do they want to be helped? All you're doing is inviting turmoil into your spirit by trying to correct somebody who don't want to be corrected. You're opening your door and your spirit to somebody to have an equal and opposite attack on you. What I just said right now is mic drop powerful stuff. Don't you usually, even if you're in a good mood when you go trying to help somebody else that don't want to be helped, you wind up depressed when you walk away from them? You're trying to preach to them and now you feel heavier than you did when you started out feeling good. Now you feel heavy. This is what it says. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Do you love me? Sometimes you act like you don't. But I rebuke you because I think you're wise. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they, what? And they will what?
Increase.
And they will what?
Increase.
Increase what?
Their learning.
You got it?
Amen.
Jeff sent me a Batman dropping the mic. Got it?
Yes.
Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. Somebody say add. Somebody say add. Somebody say add. So that means you should be adding. I know that. I already know that. I know the Lord showed me that a long time ago. That's not adding. That's trying to stay where you are. Even if you think you already know it, say, well, what's the facet of this that I'm missing? Because it's not just the words when you get in a word of correction. It's the spirit, too. And once you take the I know mode, you block the flow of the anointing out. You just hear the words. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. Let me. You need scripture to back that up? He said, words are spirit and life. He said, if you go to a town and say peace, if your peace returns to you, take it. So that, take it back and leave, right? So what he's saying is, when you give somebody truth, they add it to the truth they had. If they take it, no, I already know that. Immediately what they do is, they block the spirit out of it. They just hear the intellectual, in which they're also rebuking because they're saying they already know it. And as a result, they don't add. Let me give you a natural revelation of it so you'll see. You got $50. You got $100. You got $1,000. Let's go big. You got $10,000. I come to you and say, I got $10,000 for you. You don't go, I already got that. That's no thanks. I already got $10,000. Yeah, well, let me just add that to the $10,000 I have. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's $10,000 and $10,000. Why should you take it? You already got $10,000. Because now you have $20,000. Same thing with counsel. Just because you think you know it, you still take it in the spirit of it. So now you don't just have the revelation in one degree, but you have it to the second power. You have two in agreement now, instead of 1,000, moving 10,000.
Hey, hallelujah.
So I don't like to say people already know that. Oh yeah, now I know that. I catch myself with that. I say it anyway. It's good. It's truth. Speak it anyway. Now, I already know that. You're a mocker. Stuck on the level that you're on. You're a mocker. Stuck on the level that you're on. So, this was the apropos scripture for me, where I am right now in my life. Next verse says again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You getting it now? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, health, and years added to your life, health. He's not talking about years of you sick with disease and your body dying. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you will suffer alone. This right here is the blueprint. This brings this message of unpacking wisdom for this part of it to its close. This right here is the blueprint. If you don't go listen to the rest, the message again, which I'm demanding you to do, at least read these verses again and again and again and again. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. I like reward better than suffer. I've had both, and reward is better. So if you don't mind, I'm going to roll with reward. Amen. Amen. And amen.